Today's shir is Masechta, Erev in Daf Samach Tes. We will begin in Daf Samach Ches on the base, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara, at the end of the previous shir, quoted the opinion of Rameya, Amamar. Rameya taught us, Haitziya Masha Tamaitzim, there was a situation where they lived in the same chotzer with the tzdoiki, and Rabbi Gamliel told his children, Haitziya Masha Tamaitzim, whatever you want to take out from your homes to the chatzar, make sure to take out. V'chnisu mashatach mechnisim. Whatever you want to bring in, make sure to bring in. Atchla yotzi atoiv hazeh. Before this tzdoiki takes whatever he takes for yes aleichem. Ask the Gemara, mil memra, does this seem to teach us the chimafki inu, that if Rav Gamliel's children will make an act of ownership in the Mavi, if afterwards the Tzedoki will carry, it will not change since they made the first move. For Tanan, ask the Gemara, didn't we learn, aren't we going to learn in the Mishnah, on the base of our daf today, Misha Nosen Rishusai? And as Tosfos points out, the fact that the Gemara, the Mishnah uses the words Misha Nosen Rishusai, teaches us, for Hoitzi, somebody was Mevatel Rishus, so why did the Mishnah use the words Mevat Bitel Rishusai, not use the word Bitel Rishusai, rather use the word Nosen Rishusai, to teach us that if somebody was Mevatel Rishus, for Hoitzi, and after he did the Bitel Rishus, he carried something out, Bein B'Shogig, Bein B'Mezid, whether he did it B'Shogig, or whether he did B'Mezid, Oyser, it accomplishes that the Bitl Rishus becomes reversed, and if the Bitl Rishus becomes reversed by him carrying, so we see that the Bitl Rishus is no longer valid, and doesn't make a difference if he did it B'shogig B'mezid, Divrei Meir. And as I said, the fact that the Mishnah uses the word Nosen Rishus is indicative that it's not just that there was a Bitl Rishus, but besides that there was a Bitl Rishus, we also had that the other members of the Chatzar were Machzik, took ownership after the Bitl Rishus. And still, the Mishnah teaches us that it can be reversed. So why, not the way we're learning in the Braisa, there are Meis said in the name of Gamliel, that if once the Jews take, once the other members take ownership, it doesn't make a difference what happens afterwards. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ema, we have to change the words of the Mishnah. And the words of the Mishnah have to be, say, Ein Oyser. That actually the opinion of Rameya is that after the other members of the Chatzar acted on the Bitl Rishus, after they acted on the Bitl Rishus and took ownership of the Chatzar, nothing could be done, nothing could reverse that. Amar Abaya, Abaya gives a different teretz. Loi Kasha. The Braisa that teaches us that once the Bitl Rishus was acted on, that the other members took ownership, it's referring to a situation, Shechziku b'nei Mavi b'mavi, that the other members took ownership of the Rishus, that they were Mevatel to them. And therefore, once they took ownership, it cannot be reversed. The Bitl cannot be reversed. Can, however, the Mishnah that we quoted from Amud Beis is referring to a situation, Shelo Yechziku b'nei Mavi b'mavi, that they didn't take ownership. And since they didn't take ownership, then the person who was Mevatel Rishus could always reverse himself. Abaya proves, but now we have a question. The question we have is that we just explained a moment ago that the fact that the Mishnah used the words Misha Nosen Rishus rather using the word Misha Bitl Rishus is indicative that it's not only referring to a situation where there was Bitl Rishus, but there was Bitl Rishus followed by the people to whom the Rishus was bottle took ownership. Now, Abaya is interpreting that the Mishnah that uses the words Mishnah Nasim Rishus is only referring to a situation where it was Bitl Rishus, but it wasn't acted upon. So what Abai is going to do is bring a raya from a brisa. The Tanya here is not a kasha. The Tanya here is a raya that in brisa used the word Nasim Rishus, and it means that there was only Bitl Rishus, but not that it was acted upon. The Tanya. Because this is what the brisa says. If somebody did not participate with the Eruv HaChetzeris, somebody did not participate with the Shtufim Mevos, Im actually Nosen Rishos Hoitzi, if he carried from his house to the Chotzer, or from the house to the Mavui, before he did Bitl Rishos, Bein B'Shoyig, Bein B'Mezid, whether if he did this B'Shoyig B'Mezid, so he did the wrong thing. He had no right to carry Yochel Vato. What he still could do, Bitl Rishos. Divrei Rameyim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogig, if he carried from his home b'shogig yochel levatel, we still allow him to do bitl rishus afterwards. B'mezid, if he carried b'mezid, ein yochel levatel. Once this individual carried from his home on Shabbos to the chotzer, he carried from the chotzer on Shabbos to the mavi b'mezid. So this individual becomes a mumer l'chal Shabbos. And what the Gemara now will begin to discuss is that somebody who's a mumel chal Shabbos is an individual that's considered like an akum, and such an individual, bitl rishus, is not an option for him. The only option for him is tzchiris, leasing his property. So that's the way Tosis learns. There are others that learn that this individual is worse than that. He can't do Bitl Rishus, because Bitl Rishus is not an option for somebody who's a Mumer. But on the other hand, Schiris is also not an option for him, because Schiris is only an option for an individual who is an Akum. He's a Jew. Furthermore, Taisu says that this had to have been done before Esya. Because as we're going to learn in our shir, that the only time somebody is considered like a mumer is when he's mechal Shabbos b'faresia. But if it wasn't b'faresia, if it wasn't in public, he's not considered mechal Shabbos. The question also is, even if he did it b'faresia, and even if he did it b'mezid, according to Rashi, and that's the opinion of and that's the way the Shach Paskins in Yerudeya Simen Bey Sif Katan Yotches. Even if it happened just once, he would already be considered like a mumer. He would already be considered like an akum. Tosfos' opinion in Masech Techulin Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph Divrei Hamaskel HaShoychet is different, and he says that just if somebody's mechal Shabbos even before Esya, just once, he doesn't automatically become in the category of a mumer. Moreover, he says that somebody who is only considered a mumer, if he does it in a show that he just doesn't care about halacha, but if he doesn't do it in such a fashion, then it doesn't make a difference, that he doesn't automatically become a mumer. So therefore, but still explains Tosfos, and the Ran explains it as well, that even though according to Tosfos, just because you mechal Shabbos once, or you didn't do it in such a disrespectful manner, you don't become a mumer. But as far as this situation, that if somebody deliberately carried out from his home to the chotzer, to the mavui, I can't consider him a Jew, that the halacha is I can't consider him a Jew to the degree that we should allow him to do bitl rishus. Continues the Mishnah. So till now the Bryce was speaking about a situation of this person who carried out to the chotzer or to the mavui before he did bitl rishus. But now the Bryce discusses Misha Nosen Rishus, somebody who was in bitl rishus for hoitzi, and then he carries out after he did the bitl rishus, whether he did it b'mezid, b'im b'shog b'im b'mezid, oyser, the bitl rishus gets reversed. Divrei Rameya. Yud Omer, b'mezid, If he did it b'mezid oyser alayim, then it gets reversed. B'shagig ein oyser. But if he did it b'shagig, so that it doesn't mean that he wanted to reverse himself, and therefore the bittul rishus is still valid. Continues the brisa. B'medva mamurim. When this machloikus that we just discussed remain Rabbi Yehuda, that if somebody carried after he did the bittul rishus, when is the bittul rishus still stand? When does the bittul rishus fall? Only in a situation b'shalachzik b'nei mavoi b'mavoi, before the other members did an act of acquisition. Avul hachzik b'nei mavoi b'mavoi. If before this person reversed his bittul, the other people took ownership. Doesn't make a difference if the person who did the bittul carried out whatever he carried out. So what do we see from here? The Braisa used the word Nosan Rishusoi. And we still see that even though the Braisa uses the words Nosan Rishusoi, it still differentiates between a situation where the other members did an act of kinyan in the Chatzur Mavi, where there was bittul, or where they didn't. So we see that the words Nosan Rishusoi do not automatically mean that not only was the bittul rishus, but that the other people took ownership. It doesn't necessarily travel together. What's going to be the halacha? The Mishnah said, the Braisa just said that even Rabbi Yehuda holds that if somebody did bittul rishus and he carried out the mezid before the other neighbors took ownership, the halach is that bittul rishus becomes bottle. But says the Mishnah Brura, let's say he'll do bittul rishus again. He did bittul rishus. He disqualified the bittul rishus by carrying out the mezid. And now he goes back in and does bittul rishus. The Mishnah Brura says that would be acceptable. Chazanish disagrees, and the Chazanish says that bittul wouldn't work for the Shabbos by this person anymore, once he did bittul and he disqualified his bittul, he loses the opportunity to do bittul this Shabbos. Amar Yehuda, Amar, we learned in the Braisa in yesterday's shir, when we were speaking about it stoiki, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Beloshen Acheres, there was a different statement that Rabbi Gamliel made to his children. What he said to them was, Maru vasu tzurchechem b'movi, quickly do whatever you need to do in the Mavi, Achloi Techshach, before Shabbos begins. The Yes Aleichem and the Stoiki's presence here will create a problem. Alma, so what do we see? That he considers him like a Nochri, and Bittul Rishus is not an option. Ask the Gemara, for Nan Achloi Yotzi Tanan. When we learned the Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph from Mebeis, Rabbi Yehuda said that his father, Gamaliel, said that they should do whatever they need to do in the Mavui before the Tzdoiki carries something out to the Mavui and this reverses his Bittul Rishus. But it seems from the Mishnah that Bittul Rishus is an option for a Tzdoiki. Ema, says the Gemara, that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. Rather, what to understand the Mishnah is, Achalayotze Hayoim. Where Rabbi Gamliel was telling his children was before the day ends, before Friday ends, and Shabbos begins, make sure to carry whatever you need to carry in and out. Because once Shabbos begins, and we have the Tzedoki in our Chatzur, and Bittul Rishus is not an option for him, you won't be able to carry anything from your homes to the Chatzur, or vice versa. Vibay Seima, another way of answering the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, where in the Mishnah it seems to be that Rabbi Gamliel held that a Tzdoiki can do Bittul Rishus. And from here, it seems that a Tzdoiki cannot do Bittul Rishus. Loi Kasha. Kam Tzdoiki Mumel Chalvel Shabbos Betzina. A Tzdoiki who's a Mumel Chal Shabbos only Betzina, such a Tzdoiki could do Bittul Rishus. Can be mumel chal shabbos beferesia, but if he's a mechal shabbos beferesia, then we have to be stricter. And in such a situation, he doesn't have the ability to do bittul rishus. Says the Gemara, "Kaman az lahada tanya." Whose opinion is this brisa? The brisa says mumer v'gili ponim. Mumer is somebody who doesn't follow the halacha. A gili ponim is somebody who is a mechutzav, somebody who acts with audacity. Hareza enem vatal rishos. Such an individual cannot do bitul rishos. So before the Gemara goes any further, the Gemara asks the obvious question. Gili ponim, if somebody is disrespect, if somebody is a disrespectful individual, mumahava, it automatically makes him into muva. Ella says the way, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Braisa is somebody who's a mumer, but not just that he's a mumer begilu upon him. He's a mumer with tremendous chutzpah. Such an individual, any of achavat l'shus, he loses the ability to do bit l'shus. He doesn't have the halacha of a Jew that could do bit l'shus. Command, whose opinion does this follow? It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The second teretz that we just learned, that Rabbi Yehuda said that if he's mechal Shabbos beferesia, he can't do bitl rishus, is exactly what this braisa holds. Says the Gemara, Ha'udah nafik b'chumrta d'medasha. There was somebody who, there was a Yisrael who walked out on Shabbos with a ring that was made with a certain type of ring. And Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil, quoting the Ri, says that this ring wasn't a tachshit. When we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned quite extensively that something which is a tachshit, something which is a piece of jewelry, is a malbush and may be worn on Shabbos. But something which is not a tachshit is may not be worn, and not only may not be worn, it's considered a kli shemalachta l'isser. So when you're wearing it to the chotzer, you have a problem not of carrying, because it's not a rishus rabim, but you have a problem of muksa. When you wear it to the rishus rabim, Tosfos says, there's an issa hoitzah. Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara much simpler. He says the person was carrying the ring. When we discuss the ring, we could speak about wearing the ring, and wearing the ring, we can now begin discussing, is that an issue or not? But there's no one that could suggest that one may carry a ring. And this person was carrying a ring, according to Rabbi Tam. Kivin the Chazia, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, but when he saw, when this person, who was a Mechal Shabbos, obviously, saw Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Kasya, he covered it up. He had much respect for Rabbi Yehuda not to wear the ring in public. Vomer, and then the question was, Kigoinze, a Jew that acts in this fashion, is he's on one hand a Mechal Shabbos, it was Beferesia, but he's embarrassed of Rabbi Yehuda. Will we consider him a Mumer or not? Mevatel Rishus, said the Gemara, he's allowed to do Bitl Rishus. He's not considered a Mumer, even though he did, he's Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. Even Rabbi Yehuda says that, who held that somebody who's Mechal Shabbos Beferesia may not do Bitl Rishus, this individual is not in that situation. Since he's mizbayish, since he's embarrassed of the Nasi, he's not embarrassed with other Jews. He's only embarrassed of the Nasi. But the fact that he's embarrassed not to do something like this in front of the Nasi takes him out of being in the category of a Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav Huna, Eiz Yisrael Mumer. So we need to identify who is Yisrael Mumer. Says the Gemara, Zah Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. Some is Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, is considered a Mumer. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, command, whose opinion are you following by saying this? Ikra Meya, we have a Machloikus Masechta Bechairis regarding an individual who is considered an individual that is a person that's not trusted, that we are concerned does aveiros. The nafkamina, as the Gemara over there teaches us, from whom may we take a carbon, and whom may we not take a carbon? Somebody who's over aveiros, as we're going to learn later in our shiur today, so is an individual who we may not take kabbonis from. Such an individual is a person whose shchita is considered disqualified. So the question is, what puts you into that category? However, it's important to point out that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch or Paskin, that even if we're treating this person like a choshel l'chala tayra kula, we're treating him like a mumer. Many of the Mefarshim point out that the subject that the Gemara is speaking about, the Machloikus, the Masecht Bechairis, the Aflamar Mabez that the Gemara now is mentioning, is really a Machloikus not regarding a Mumer. The Machloikus is a Choshar Adover. The Gemara says some over there that somebody who's not trustworthy regarding one area of Halacha is not Neman. We can't trust him in that area of Halacha. And the question is he trustworthy in all other areas of Halacha? So, even though that's the subject over there, the Gemara connects the same question to Hilchas Mumer. So here we have a person who's a Mechal Shabbos of Feresia. Amalei Kaman. That if somebody is not trustworthy in one area of halacha, he's not trustworthy in any area of halacha. So why are we picking to call somebody a mumer if he's mechal shabbos for esya? A feel by echem kol asurim b'shebet Torah. Any other aver nami, he should be considered a mumer. V'ikra abonim. And if you want to suggest that follows the opinion of the rabbanon, certainly it doesn't work. Ha'amr. The Rabbanan's opinion is, Choshel Dov Echad, lo have a Choshel Chalatar Kula. So just because somebody violates some halacha doesn't make him into a mumer, doesn't make him a Choshel Chalatar Kula. The only Aveira that is different, add the have a mumer Avodah Zarah. Until he's a mumer for Avodah Zarah. Somebody who's a mumer for Avodah Zarah, he is not, because Avodah Zarah, that means somebody who worships Avodah Zarah is Koif of Chalatar Kula. He's going against the entire Torah. Such an individual is considered a mumer, even though it's only one Averi he's violating. All other Averis don't put him into that category. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, this is the way we need to understand the opinion of Rav Huna. Litul Rishos, Ulevat Rishos. The question that we're discussing here is regarding the halacha of Bittul Ukritana, Yisrael Mumer. If you have Yisrael who's Mechal Shabbos, however, he's Meshamish Abdeh Bishok, he's Shemish Shabbos publicly, Mevatel Rishos. From such an individual, he still has the ability to do Bittul Rishos. She'ein Meshabbos Abdeh Bishok, but if he's Mechal Shabbos Beferesia publicly, Ein Mevatel Rishos. He doesn't have the ability to do Bittul Rishos anymore. Mnei She'amru. Because as we have learned, Yisrael not Rishos for Nois Rishos. A Yisrael could be a person who's Mevat Rishos. A Yisrael could be an individual to whom we are Mevat Rishos. B'Nachri, but by Nachri, as we began the Perek, the only option how to deal with a Nachri is Achiyaskir, and only Schiris. Keitzad, how is Bittul Rishos accomplished? Oimeloi, the person who's being Mevat Rishos, says to the other people here, Rishusi Kanuyaloch, Rishusi Mevutalislcha, Kana, and at that point, that's enough to accomplish a bit of Rishus, Vein Tzarech Liskos. Even though normally halacha is that if I want to affect the transaction, I have to do a kinyan. Here, since all I'm trying to do, since the person who's doing the Bittul Rishos is only trying to be Mesalik himself, he's only trying to remove himself from this area, he's not really trying to take on any real ownership, that's why it's enough. Ravashi Yama. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation how to understand what Rav Huna just taught us. This Tana teaches us that Shabbos is like Avodah Zarah. We just learned on top of this Amid that even though the only Avera that this individual violated is Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah is like you don't believe in anything, and because it's considered as if you don't believe in anything, that's why you're considered a mumer. If that, even though that's the only veira you violate, says the Gemara, the same thing is Shabbos. Shabbos is somebody who's mechal Shabbos is, and the Gemara is going to go into this further. The Gemara is saying that somebody who's mechal Shabbos is like an avodah zarah. So there's a beautiful mashal from the Chafetz Chaim in explaining why is somebody who's Mechal Shabbos stand out to be considered like a mumar. He says a mashal. He says there was somebody who had a home, and it's very common in front of your home, you have a sign, a mark with your name and your address. This is where I live. As long as your name is on the front of the house, even though you've traveled away, it's a sign, it's you still live there. Your name being on the front door is an indication that you still live there. But if you moved away and you took off your name from the door, then it means you're no longer here. We know, Ki Shabbos oisi lechem. Shabbos is an ois. What does it mean that Shabbos is an ois? What does it mean that Shabbos is a sign? What it's a sign is that we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as long as somebody is Shomer Shabbos, he's carrying an ois. He's carrying a sign that he believes in Hashem. He maybe traveled away. He maybe is not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs as he ought to be. But he's still carrying a sign that oisi beini ubeinechem, that he is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if somebody, Rachman Otzlan, is not a Shomer Shabbos anymore, he took off the ois. He took off the sign that he's still connected, that he's connected to Hashem. And by taking off that sign, by taking off that announcement that he's connected to Hashem, that's why he's considered a mumer. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi brings a raya that a mumer for Shabbos is considered like a mumer l'chol ha-Torah kul, k'ritanyam. The pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas VeYikra, when it speaks about bringing kabonis, Adam ki yakim chem kom la Hashem mina behema. We learned michem from some people we accept the carbon v'loy mikulchem, but not from everybody. Prat lemumer, from a mumer we don't accept the carbon. Michem continues the brisa bechem in klal Yisrael chilakti. That by some, from some Jews we accept kabbonis, and from some Jews we don't accept kabbonis. V'loy ba'umos. The halacha is that mekablon kabbonis min ha'akum. And as the Gemara Masechta Chulin Daf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph teaches us, the pasuk says, "Ish ish mebeis Yisrael umen ager biYisrael ash yakrif kabbonoi." And the Gemara Masechta Chulin teaches us, "Ish that go that akum." A mekriven kabbonis al mizbeach, that we could accept kabbonis from an akum. By akum, from all akum, we accept kabbonis, even though akum also not allowed to worship avodah zarah. We don't make that difference. All akum kabbonis are accepted. Min ha-behema, the pasuk continues that we accept kabbonis min ha-behema. Difficult pasuk. We accept kabbonis from animals, says the Gemara. You are people that act like animals. Rashi says, Rishoim, people who act like an animal, such an individual still we accept kabbonis. So the Inyakov explains what's pshat that somebody is doima to behema. He says that an animal, the pasuk says, until him, yudei shor kainov, v'chamor avois ba'alov. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, I mean, that an animal recognizes its owner. So as long as you are a Jew who recognizes his owner, you're still not like a behemoth. A person, however, that doesn't recognize its owner is not even like an animal. We're anxious that they should do tshuva. That we don't take carbon from them. But it's very important that Tosfos teaches us in Masechta Chulin that even though the Gemara is saying that we're accepting the carbon from them because they should do tshuva, that's not what is the way to learn the Gemara. The Gemara is quoting a din from the Torah. Certain Jews we accept kabbonis from, and certain Jews we don't. Yes, the Gemara is explaining probably the reason is because we want them to do tshuva, but that's not the point. But ask the Gemara Haguf Kasha. In learning this price, we have a question. Amat mekem v'loy kolchem lahoitzi samumer. That we don't accept kabbonis from a mumer. V'adatani, and yet in this price, we then learn mekabma kabbonis m'poshi Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Reisha, the beginning of the price is speaking about is somebody who's a mumer l'cholat arikula. From such an individual, we don't accept kabbonis. Mitzio asoy, when we said that we do accept kabbonis, b'mumer l'davar echad, if he only violates one Aveira, such an individual we accept the kabbonis from. Ema sefer, but then let's go on further into the braisa. The braisa says chutz min amumer v'menasach yayin. Ask the Gemara, who does the braisa mean at the end of the braisa when it speaks about this? Hi mumer heichidami. Exactly, who is speaking about? It was speaking about a full-fledged mumer heiner reisha. So we already learned in the reisha that from such an individual we don't take a bonus. Vila dava acher, if we're talking about an individual who only violates certain halachas, kash mitziyasa, which it said that we do take a bonus from them. Elalav, it must be hachikomer. This is the way to understand the braisa. That a person is a mumer chalatar kula, we don't take a bonus from. A person who only a mumel adavar echad, we do take kabbonis from. However, somebody is a mumel anasach yain will chabul shabbos befresya, even though he's only a mumer in certain averis, he is considered like a mumel chalatar kula. What do we see from here? Alma avoid the zara the shabbos kadodininu that somebody's oivet avoid the zara is considered like he's a mumel chalatar kula. And somebody who is a somebody who's mechal shabbos b'fresia is in the same category. The Meshech Chachma. So our brice that we just finished learning differentiates between a Pesha Yisrael and a mumer. What's the difference between a Pesha Yisrael and a mumer? So he explains that the brice compared a Pesha Yisrael to a behema. So he explains. What is a behemah? A behemah doesn't have the intelligence, doesn't have the intellect to know that not everything it sees and not everything it wants it could have. In other words, he calls a behemah a bal taiva. He calls a behemah somebody who just wants everything and just doesn't have any restraint. He says somebody who's a Pesha Yisrael is not a person who doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. It's not a person who doesn't believe in the Torah. He's a person who does believe. He just can't control himself. A mumer, he says, however, is somebody who is a kaifer, somebody who is apikairis, somebody who doesn't believe in Hashem. That's a whole different type of an avera. And therefore, he says, a mumer, we don't accept his kabbonis. A Pesha Yisrael, who's just about taiva, we do accept his kabbonis. So the Gemara said that who is considered a mumer, somebody who's that a mechal shabbos b'feresya is considered a mumer. What does b'feresya mean? So the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, daf ayin dalet amud bey, says b'feresya means in front of 10 Jews. The question is that the Paiskim discuss, the Rashbats discusses, the Ratvaz discusses it. If he didn't do the Avera in front of 10 people, but it's something that 10 people know about, is that considered Feresia? And they take the approach that even if it wasn't done publicly, but it's something that is known to the public, that's enough to make the person be considered a Michal Shabbos of Feresia. Of course, the question is, Bizman Azeh, when we have people who are unfortunately Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, are they considered like a mumer? Is Bittul Rishus going to be an option? And this is particularly a question going back to something that we discussed at the beginning of our perek, where we quoted a Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Maram Rattenberg in the Rosh, if Schiris Rishus is an option from a Yisrael. Because if Schiris Rishus is an option by Yisrael, so you have a Yisrael who's a Mechal Shabbos Beferesya, so Bittul Rishus, and he doesn't want to participate in the Erev, so Bittul Rishus wouldn't be an option, we could do Schiris Rishus. But according to the Maram Rattenberg, who said that Schiris Rishus is not an option by a Yisrael, and Bittul Rishus is not an option by Mechal Shabbos Beferesya, it may prevent us from being able to make an Erev. And it seems that the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is indeed L'chumra. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that somebody who's Mechal Shabbos Beferesya, we can't do Bittul Rishus. And the reason the Sharet Sin explains is because a very big factor in this perek, in where in Chazal's consideration, was Shema Yilma Mamasov. Chazal did not want us to learn from people's behavior. So just like Chazal certainly don't want us to learn from the behavior of the Nochri, Chazal also don't want us to learn from the behavior of people who are Mechal Shabbos B'Feresia, and therefore they should be treated like a Nochri, as is Pash Pshar in the Gemara. However, it's well known that the opinion of the Chazon Ish was that the Mumrim, that the people who are Mechal Shabbos, even if the Mechal Shabbos B'Feresia, are not considered mumrim b'zman hazeh. He said he held that they were considered tinik shenishba. They were brought up in an environment, they're brought up in a society of no Torah, of no mitzvahs, of no Yerushmayim, and therefore that's why they're doing what they're doing, and therefore we cannot consider them mumrim. In the famous tshuva from the Binyan Tzion, that also says that the non-religious people are not chas v'sholem, considered mumrim. And so too was the opinion of the Chalkas Yaakov in the Shas Tshuvas Or Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet. However, if we look in the Tshuvas, the Binyan Tzion, and we look in the Melamed L'Hoyel, it's not as simple as it seems, because there, he speaks about there in the tshuva about a person who makes kiddush every Shabbos, and then he's mechal Shabbos. So we see that he does have some relationship with Shabbos. But if a person has absolutely no relationship with Shabbos in any way, I'm not sure that that could be considered the same as what they're discussing. And in fact, Rav Moshe Sternberg in the Shas Tshuvas, Tshuvas v'Nechagos, Chelek Aleph Simen Reish Nun Beis, says it's not so poshut. He says that especially if they live in Eretz Yisrael, where in Eretz Yisrael so many people are Baruch Hashem Shomrei Shabbos, and even all Jews are exposed to people who are Shomrei Shabbos and know about Shmir Shabbos, it's hard to call such a person a tinik shenishba, and therefore he wants to be machmer in that situation. Furthermore, our Gemara discussed under what circumstances we could take kabonis from mumrim, from Poshe Yisrael, from mumrim. The Ramah in Yerideya Simen Reish Nun Dalet Sif Beis says, "Apish emakabon stokim in a goyim." We don't accept stocker from an akum. Im menadvin dovel beis haknesses. If an akum on his own comes to donate something to a beis haknesses, mekabum oisam mehem, we accept their donation. Avum and a mumer, somebody who's in the category of a mumer, im kam afilu in the dorm of the dovis the beis haknesses. So the Ramah makes a very interesting distinction. He says we should never solicit not an akum and not a mumer. He said, but an Akum who on his own donates to a Beis HaKnesses, we are allowed to accept his donation. On the other hand, somebody who's a Mumer, we don't accept from him for the Beis HaKnesses as at all. And there's discussion amongst the Paiskim under what circumstances we may take donations from an Akum or not. It seems that it's quite clear that you're never allowed to ask from them for tzedakah. Moreover, taking tzedakah from them to support aniyim is even worse than a beis haknesses, because it's a chil Hashem that we need to rely on the akum to support our aniyim. However, to take from them when they offer on their own, there, the Paiskim are much more lenient. However, the Paiskim say that even if you're going to take from them, first of all, they shouldn't be the only supporters. And number two, there's a big issue of putting the name of an Akum or putting the name of a Mumer on the name of a basic knesset, or in the name of a yeshiva, it may be a tremendous chil Hashem. The Mishnah we're going to begin learning now in Mitzvah Hashem goes into the subject that we've been discussing so often, and that's the sugya of Bitl Rishus, that if somebody did not participate in the Erev, and all the neighbors that live in a chatzar must participate in the Erev to make the Erev Chatzeris a valid Erev Chatzeris, what can we do if somebody didn't participate? So what we do is, because otherwise nobody could carry from the homes to the chatzar. So what the person does is, he's mevatel rishus, and by mevatel rishus, he's not considered a member, he's being mesalik rishus, we used those words earlier in our shir. He's removing himself from the rishus. And by removing himself from the rishus, he's not considered as if he's a member of this chatzar, and therefore his presence doesn't make a difference. And therefore begins the Mishnah. If you have members of a chatzar, the one of the members of the chatzar did not participate in the Erev, and this halach is not only if he forgot to participate in the Erev, even if he deliberately did not participate in the Erev, the halach would be the same. The halach is based osim l'hachnas l'hoitzi lohem lohem. Nobody, and then he does bitl rishus. I forgot to say that. That's what the Mishnah is speaking. What happens? Beisai osim l'hachnas l'hoitzi. He did bitl rishus in the chotzer. He did not do bitl rishus in the home. So the question is, what is the status of the home? So beisai osim l'hachnas l'hoitzi lohem lohem. Nobody could carry from his home to the chotzer. The Gemara is going to explain why. Shalahem, but their homes, Matarim, since there was Bitl Rishus in the Chatzar, everybody could carry from their home, he and they. What about vice versa? Everybody else in the Chatzar was Mevatel Rishus to him. Humatar, he could carry from his home to the Chatzar, or vice versa. The Hainas Surim, they can't carry from his home to the Chatzar. If there were two people that forgot to participate in the Erev, so they create a situation that they can't have an Erev. They didn't make an Erev Chatzeris. Echad Noisim Rishus, because the halach is that one person can be Vatl Rishus, or Vinoitl Rishus, or one person could be a person to whom everybody is Mavatl Rishus. Shnayim, if the two people that fail to participate in the Erev, they could be Noisim Rishus. They could give rishus, however, they noitl rishus. You can't be mevatel rishus to two people. And the Gemara Mitzvashem will explain why. Says the Mishnah, Me'emesai moisten rishus. At what point could somebody who did not participate in the Erev do bitl rishus? B'shamei omer boy join. It has to be done before Shabbos. Because they hold that bitl rishus is a form of a kinyan. And as we mentioned earlier, a kinyan may not be done on Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, Mishech Sheikha, that you can do Bitl Rishus, Mishech Sheikha. But Darach HaShulchan comes to say that don't make the mistake that Beis Hillel holds that Bitl Rishus could only be done Mishech Sheikha, because during the day, don't do Bitl Rishus. If you know that you're not participating, do an Erev, says the Aruch HaShulchan, no. What Beis Hillel means, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you could do Bitl Rishus even once Shabbos begins. It's not like Beis Shammai holds, according to Beis Hillel, an act of a kinyan, which may not be done on Shabbos, but it also could be done Mishech Sheikha, and it could be done Friday afternoon as well. Now we go on to the halacha that we spoke at the beginning of our today's shiur. Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Nosim Rishusoi, somebody who was Mevatel Rishus, for Hoisi, and then after he did Bitl Rishus, he carried from his house to the Chatzar, Bein B'Shogi, Bein B'Mezid, whether he did a B'Shogi B'Mezid, Hareza Oiser. He reverses the Bitl Rishus, Divir Rameyu. Rameyu says that this halacha will be even if it was B'Shogi. Rabbi Hudaimer, if he carried out B'Mezid, that is indeed an indication of a reversal of the Bitl Rishus and Oyser, and therefore the other people now can't rely on that Bitl Rishus. However, if he carried from his home to the Chatzah, B'Shaygig, Ein oyser, it's not considered a reversal. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody did not participate in the Erev, the halacha is, and he did bitl rishus, we can't carry from his house to the chatzar, but we can carry from the other houses to the chatzar. What do we learn from here? Beis ha'yud asur, we can't carry from his home to the chatzar and vice versa. Hachatzera, to carry in the chatzar, there is no problem. Says the Gemara, hey chidami, let's understand the situation of the Mishnah. Either batel beisoy, if he was mevatel his house, am I also? So if he was mevatel a house to his neighbors, so then the house becomes the neighbors' houses. So why can't you carry out from the houses? Vida loy batel, and if there was no bittel in the Mishnah, so then his presence is a problem. Everybody has to participate in the Eruv Chatzeris. And he didn't participate in the Eruv Chatzeris. He didn't do Bittel Rishus. So then how could Chatzeris, my Sharia, how could you carry in the Chatzer? Answers the Gemara. Hachem Ma'iskinen. Amish is referring to a situation. Kigon Shebittel Rishus Chatzeri. He is Mevatel Rishus in his Chatzer. However, V'loi Bittel Rishus Beisoy, he was not Mevatel Rishus in his home. The Kesavir Rabbanon, the Rabbanon's opinion in our Mishnah is, if someone is mevatel rishus chatzeroi, rishus beisoy loy bitel doesn't automatically include that he was also mevatel the rishus in his home. Why? Because unlike the opinion of Elazar, the diary inchi bias b'loy chatzer, people will live in their home without the chatzer. So just because he was mevatel rishus in the chatzer doesn't mean he was mevatel rishus in the bias, and therefore from the chatzer he could carry, but in the bias, which is still his, there's a problem. My tama, what's the reason that somebody who forgot to participate in the Erev and he did bitl rishus, now when he's carrying from their homes, it's not considered a reversal of the bitl? Says the Gemara, they have oirach gabayu, because he's like a guest in their homes. And since he's a guest in their home, so if I'm a guest in your home, I can rely on whatever Erev Chatzeris you made. Nosnoi Rishusoi, if they were Mevatel Rishus, again, the same situation, they were Mevatel Rishus to him, to the individual who did not participate in the Erev, the loch is hum mutter v'heinem surim. Says the Gemara, but if they were Mevatel Rishus to him, so by them being Mevatel Rishus to him, that means all of the homes in this Chatzer, this entire Chatzer, is his. So we just learned, the Nehevi asked the Gemara, Inu l'gabei Yorchem, they should all be considered his guest. And if they're all his guest, they could rely on the fact that he could carry. Answers the Gemara, Chad l'gabei Chamisha, when the previous case, where he was Mevatel Rishus to them, so he's their guest, which is common, that one will be a guest to the five. However, Chamisha l'gabei Chad, but 5 to 1, lo yehavi Yorchem. That's not the way it works with guests. Shmamina. But what we see from our Mishnah, a question that we discussed in the previous year, Mevatlan Mechoizim Mevatlan. Could somebody do Bittl, and then if someone was Mevatl Rishus to his Chaver, could he then do Bittl Rishus afterwards? Our Mishnah seems to be speaking about a case that it's all one case, the Gemara is learning. The first, he did Bittl Rishus to them, and then they did Bittl Rishus to him. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. Hachkama. Nosnoi Rishusam Mikoroi. If they were, the second case of the Mishnah is not connected to the first case. The first case of the Mishnah was referring to a situation where he was Mevatel Rishus to them. And now we speak about a case where they, a totally independent case, where they were Mevatel Rishus to him. And in that situation, who mutter, he could carry from his house to the Chatzar, but they may not. They may assume. We learned Hoyishnaim, if there were two people there, Oysim Zelza. So says the Gemara, what, of course, if there were two people there, the Oysim Zelza. Because even if there was nobody else there, if two people don't live in a chotzen and they don't make an Erev together, Oysim Zelza. And says the Gemara, what happened is like this. If the Mishnah is speaking about that one of the two people that did not participate in the Erev was Mevatel Rishusoi and the rishus of everyone else to this one other person. Matatema, she is lishteri. You have the following situation. All the people who made the Erev were mevatel to one of these people who didn't participate in the Erev. And the other person who didn't participate in the Erev were also mevatel to him. So everybody essentially was mevatel to one person. And therefore, it should be similar to what we learned a moment ago, that if everybody is mevatel to one person, at least that one person could carry. Kamash Malon, that it's not the same. Why? The Kivan the Idla Mevatli. When the group was mevatel to one of the people who didn't participate in the Erev, that bittel didn't really accomplish because we still have the other person. So since the first bittel didn't accomplish, the bittel didn't accomplish because we still have that other person, that's why this entire process, loy, is not an effective process.